These are the moments we all live for. How many times have we seen these three work together? Elma Smit out of Africa, straight into the biltong shops of Southwest London. Emily Scarrett, Scazzy Das. Surely you can never run a switch too many times. And Mo Hunt, chippy, snipey, sporty, karaoke. Sounds like the new Spice Girls. Here they come, the good, the Scaz, the rugby.
Hello, I'm just popping out before the proper start of the podcast to say yes, 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 our Scaz made her return, got her boots back on 47 minutes against Bristol. And while we will still have that conversation with her, frankly, she's not a bigger guest than Ilona Marr.
Hello and welcome to The Good, The Scaz and The Rugby, brought to you by our friends at Vodafone. Yes, I am back.
Thank the Lord.
You can hear that I'm not at full strength if you're a regular listener. I am fueled by caffeine and some good South African head cold medication. But I have been so warmly entertained by the two of you over the last two episodes. It's just absolutely lovely to see your faces in real life.
So nice to see you, Elma. Yeah, you wouldn't believe.
Really, really is.
Oh, please. Whatever. You were so comfortable in this chair. I saw you guys. And
we actually had a fight over who was going to sit there.
We had a fight over it. Yeah.
Shira had to step in.
One episode each we compromised on.
Why is this the chair you want to sit in?
Because
it was like the lead chair.
Yeah.
It was like Billy Big Bollocks chair.
You guys are competing for the wrong thing.
Sorry, I've never heard you swear.
Which bit was a swear word? Is bollocks a swear word?
Do you know, ring your gran and say bollocks down the phone and see what happens.
Let's ask your nan.
I think she'd let that one fly.
Call KPI for the host. She has dropped an expletive.
Yeah.
No, legit, is that a swear word?
Yes, mate. Oh.
There we are then.
So that makes sense because you never swear, so now you know that.
Yeah. I was going to say, if anyone
Billy
was going to drop one
Billy
on
Big
the show.
Balls. Redo. Billy Big Balls. It's the Billy Big Balls chair.
Okay. It's still like it's too late now.
Last time when we did one by ourselves with Fleeta, you rated us. Can you re-rate us? Have we improved?
I think that you guys were brilliant. I did get the impression that Coxie could also just have sat there and hosted the show.
Yeah, she certainly could.
No, honestly, we were on ridiculous time pressure. And when these two talked about the trains for the first 15 minutes, I actually looked at Shira and thought, I don't know where to go. Have you not listened back yet?
I haven't listened back yet.
No. You know who has listened back? Abby Ward. Commented on Coxie's 5-hour court session video that we put out on social, saying, which is Coxie and which is Scaz?
I rated that, to be fair.
What's your longest She's court session?
Oh, does she not just mean visually?
I think she meant like your chat more so than the court session. Scazzy doesn't run the courts.
God, I'm nowhere near the court session.
I misunderstood that completely.
No, I think it was more how they describe and go into stories.
Oh, really?
That was my take.
That we look the same. Oh, well, haven't we all interpreted that differently?
Wow.
Abby Ward, please comment again and explain. Because
what the hell?
We're all on three different paths completely
Isn't
with this.
Isn't that funny?
What did you think?
Visually,
yeah. Oh.
So you look like...
Do I win?
No.
Shira thinks that Abby Ward thinks that you and Coxie look similar.
Yeah.
High pony, long hair.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting approach.
Nice. Intelligent, speak well. No, joking. Got that.
Helmet wearer.
Just helmets.
No, you're a helmet.
That was my favourite bit on Instagram.
Line of the season so far. I mean, Mo, usually you come up with
it. It just slid by though. She didn't, she wasn't bothered. Didn't affect her.
What? No, you're a helmet.
Yeah.
I just, when I don't have a comeback, I just go silent. How do you not know this?
No, I know.
Normally, I feel like I've got something.
Sad for me.
But
we would like to thank Sadia for filming Scazzy wearing the helmet. If you haven't seen this yet, you have to go to the Scaz and the Rugby on Instagram because it is priceless.
But it's interesting to everybody in the gym.
So and you're wearing it well.
Thank you, Mo.
No, you're a helmet. Yeah. Well, she's got things to do, return to play and all that stuff. Now, we would like to welcome our very special guest. She rose to fame during the Tokyo 2020 Olympics when her Olympic Village TikToks went absolutely viral. She plays for USA Sevens, and I almost feel like I could just stop there because you already know who I'm talking about. She said recently, I actually didn't win a medal at the Olympics. I want personality, which is very, very accurate. She's an absolute staple on all of our phone screens. If you're on Instagram or on TikTok, then you're probably following Ilona Maher. Welcome to The Good, The Scaz and The Rugby, Ilona.
Thank you for having me. Very excited.
What an intro.
What an intro.
Did I Beautiful. Get that right? I always just say your name like I would in Afrikaans, but no, there has great. Been a lot of people blazing all over the place with it, saying it in 20 different ways.
That was actually one of the better pronunciations. That was really good. That was correct. No. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I got tick. First KPI part of my job is done. Now Scazzy and Mo can take it away. Now, tell me about who did you meet first of these two girls? You guys have played against one another, right, Scazzy?
Yeah, I think would it be your first season 2018?
Yes,
It was like our last, actually Mo Proper did a comeback, up. But our last sevens year, mm-hmm. 2018, which ended in the World Cup year in San Fran. Where we won't speak about how we did in that.
No, but we bombed out. Yeah.
But yes, we played against each other a few times and tough going.
I think our last time was, I remember seeing you in Dubai and I was like, because I was a big fan before that. So I remember seeing you in Dubai 2018. And then I think you just like left for 15s like all you cool British people do. Sometimes.
Sorry, but people don't normally call us cool and British in the same sentence. So I'm just going to sit on that for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the way British athletes generally conduct themselves is to be as far away from cool, just to be seen to be humble, just to not be seen to be too overtly out there, too overtly me.
Because naturally Mo and I would be so cool.
Yeah, we literally exuberate it. Is that a word? And there we are.
Another not... word.
What is the word?
We just hit that word. What did you just say?
Exuberate.
Exuberating.
I had one the other day, but I can't remember what it was. Sorry, for your context, I'm not sure how much you've listened to us. I basically think that I'm saying a word and I generally am not saying a word and I'm making one up. So
she like mashes one together out of two that she likes. It's cute.
Now, how long was it between when you started playing rugby and when you made your international debut at the Paris Sevens in 2018? What was that like for you?
I started playing rugby in the spring of 2014 and then I debuted in 2018, so 4 years. But I think with sevens, you know, it's like so much being an athlete. And because my dad was a rugby player, so I grew up watching him in a way. So do I think I should have debuted as early? No, I had no idea what I was doing. But it worked out well.
It's funny, isn't it? When we had Aseza on as well, she said exactly the same thing. She was basically just a physical character got thrown onto a field and then just ran through everybody. So it seemed to work.
Was that your baptism of fire into the game? Well, how did you find the contact element?
I loved it. I thought I did pretty well at it from like the first game when I just like remember stiff arming and tackling and scoring tries, and it felt very natural to me. This was high school rugby in Vermont. Like, it wasn't crazy.
Could you imagine the poor high school fields that you left behind you with just these like girls like, just crumpled on the deck? Yeah. I've just got this vision of it. You know, these poor little girls that thought, oh yeah, I'll try rugby.
Have you got footage of that? Have you got any footage in the archives?
Well, you know, I don't think, because it was never like, it was just something I did. I didn't want to play softball my spring semester. Yeah. And then it just kind of spiraled from there. So I don't think there's really any clips of me playing in high school.
Gutted, because that would be a TikTok.
Yeah. That would be a TikTok. Yeah. You're thinking.
If dad somewhere in Vermont is sitting on some tape, some old footage, some really bad Nokia N95 quality footage, please let us know. We'd love to see that. Ilona just absolutely flattening people, running over them. Now, speaking of flattening people, what's the, you know, this season's focus for you guys as USA Sevens? It's obviously an Olympic year. And I'm sure for you personally, that's a huge milestone considering the kind of impact you made at the last Olympics and how your own profile has grown over the last 4 years. But in this season leading up to Paris, what's the focus?
I think for the team, it's the medal, as all of it is. Mm. I think personally for me, though, I had a tough experience at the last Olympics. I had like almost a post-Olympic blues, as they call it. I don't know if, you know, any of you had it after your time, but like it really got me after the last Olympics. And I felt so sad that we didn't win a medal because I was like, you train for something your whole life. And then it's like, you lose in the quarterfinal because of the way the ball bounces or something. So for me, my focus this season has just been to like enjoy every moment with my teammates before the Olympics, because as we know with our sport too, who knows about like injury or even COVID, like anything could happen where you don't go to the Olympics. So if you put all your eggs just preparing for this one moment. So, and I think what I get to do with my teammates and spend time with them every day is so special. So it's really just been enjoying. Like I just went to Perth, Australia, I went to Dubai. So I guess in the rugby sense, be good, but then in the personal sense, just enjoy it.
Are you putting like targets at the moment on certain World Series stuff? Because I always think it's a really tough year. Obviously, you've got a World Series completely separate, but ultimately everything is aimed towards Paris. Everything, yeah, as you just said, is aimed towards medaling there. But obviously doing well along the way never harms.
Yeah. So we're definitely like aiming for this LA stop, which we have in coming up to win that. Like it was our coach showed us a graph and like, we're going to be building and then here we're going to win. So it's like, whoa. But I think for us, it's as this year, it's like you have to be top eight to not get relegated, to not get possibly relegated. So of course, stay top eight. Last year was such a focus on being top four to get Olympic qualification. And I think it's still that, but like, I think it's less of a emphasis on it because we have qualified for the Olympics. Now we have to stay top eight, but we do want to like continue to learn how to, you know, win those quarterfinals and now win those semifinals is our problem.
Do you know what fascinates me? So I remember being at Tokyo, lucky enough to be there as well. And I just found it mad how, like, I'm a dinosaur on my phone, right? Skaz is bad. Skaz is horrendous. I'm quite bad as well.
I thought you were going to say I was better than.
No, sorry. But what I find like that blew my mind is just that you can compete in Olympic Games, but also like be so active on social media and be so like involved and stuff. Do you feel like there's a bit like, one, how did you do that? Because teach me. And two, do you feel like there's a bit of pressure on you to like uphold that now going into this next Olympics? Like, is there a lot of eyes on you to almost showcase this team and their journey all the way through?
Yeah, I think, well, first off, I just treated the TikTok almost like part of it, part of my job, because I knew going into it, maybe a business mindset that people were made at the Olympics, like Michael Phelps, Simone Biles, these people are made and they have their careers done. And I also knew that I was not going to be the best rugby player in the world that everyone would notice. So for me, I was like, I do have something that sets me apart, kind of like what we're talking about, is my personality and my ability to share myself. And the Olympics, all eyes are on it. So I think we can capitalize on it. As female athletes, we talk about getting sponsorships and whatnot, but the way to get that is to have something that companies to offer and have be somebody that people want and need in there to, you know, support their brand. So I kind of went into it knowing like I can do something here. For me, it's not hard because I guess it's just the brain I have. I think people like, oh, I want to be like you, but it's like you have to be thinking constantly about weird stuff to say, about funny stuff, and it's not fun. It's not fun up here. but I think it was just like I made it a point to capitalize on this moment because I wasn't just going to go to the Olympics and possibly lose like we did and that would be it. I think I would have been even more depressed if I hadn't created something with it. So I think it was just a choice that I'm going to use this to, you know, also play rugby well, but also better myself and my brand, because, you know, as a lot of us know here in the room, women's rugby isn't going to pay you the big bucks at right now. and then in terms of like the next Olympics, there is a pressure on it, but I actually don't feel too much of the pressure about it. Maybe it'll change when I get to the Olympic Village, but I just love what social media has done for me and my team and my brand. Like, It's the amount of eyes that it's gotten on the sport, the amount of girls it's gotten to watch rugby has been so cool. So I think I'll still try to do what I did in the last Olympics, but every tournament since then has been a good way to like continue to learn how I want to use the, you know, apps while I'm in tournament mode and how much I want to post, how much I need to focus on this at this time or whatnot.
That's fascinating. Sorry, I'm mind blown listening to you say that, because you like the strategy that you've got behind it is incredible, and obviously you've done so incredibly well out of it. Like, it that's amazing.
It is interesting because I feel like we get to see and get to know the social version of you really well, but I don't often hear you talking about the sport even though you do a lot of educational work, I feel like a lot of the content you make is aimed at the widest possible end of the funnel, which, yeah, let's be honest, that's where we need the growth the most. Yeah, yeah, that's, yeah, where we need to bring people in the most. And you are playing a minority sport in, yeah, in England. I think it's really easy to live in this world where you think rugby's relatively mainstream because it's covered everywhere. But especially considering the context of the scale of something like the Super Bowl, you are probably one of the people, in my opinion, the person who has done the most for rugby in the US, because you have over 1 million people who are following you and your journey. Yeah. You are creating content that makes people who know nothing else about the sport go, oh, okay, there's, yeah, this whole rugby business going on. How much of your audience is big into rugby and how much of them, yeah, don't care for the sport at all?
So that was almost a calculated move as well. Once I was starting to do the rugby content on TikTok, people were like loving it and I got the rugby fans. But it's like, again, in the US, even in the world, the rugby fans, you're going to get such a small pot of people. Like, you get them and it's like, okay, I'm in it. For me, it was important to get everybody from everywhere. So I didn't want my brand to just be rugby. And like you said, yeah, I don't just post a lot of rugby. I post about, you know, whether it's like food or travel, body, about positivity or whatever like that. Because then you can reach so many audiences. And by reaching somebody because of your body positivity posts, they follow you. Then they see a rugby post and then they see something else. So they experience it. And it's kind of funny. My fan base is like, a lot of like mostly women, and it's a lot of female athletes. Like rowers will constantly come up to me. I just have Dominican soccer players come up to me. I have moms saying, oh, I wish I had you when I was younger because I love following your content. So a lot of, it's not a lot of rugby players that come up to me in everyday life. It's just like people who like my content, and then I get to sprinkle a little rugby in them, kind of subconsciously exposing them to the game.
It's so funny because admittedly we can all take the piss out of my social media use and posting ability, but I don't want to speak for you, but I am going to. I think when we post, if it's rugby, we get far more engagement than if we, I don't, yeah, know, have done something just so very sociable on a weekend.
Niece and nephews.
Yeah, exactly. The engagement we get from posting rugby is far more than anything else. That, but maybe that's because all of our followers are rugby and we have a tiny proportion of yours.
But I think that that's the thing that I really find refreshing about the way that you look at this, because you are not apologizing for the fact that you're successful on social media. You're going, listen, this is the thing that's making it financially worthwhile for me to keep doing this because it's part of your work.
Yeah. It's so interesting because in the sport of rugby, you know, the big team is New Zealand, and they have something called like tall poppy syndrome. Have you ever heard of that? Where it's like they all want to stay and they get cut down. And so people always ask me about it. They're like, oh, you know, you're not, or they don't call me not humble, but they like, oh, you know, you'll talk about yourself. And it's like, I don't want to diminish what I've done because I think I've worked very hard to do it. Like, if my teammates can tell you, it's a complete second job what I do on social media. So I work really hard and I am proud of what I've done with the sport, with the TikTok. So I think in you know, English rugby and the culture, it's like staying humble and, you know, tall poppy syndrome, like cut them down. and maybe that's my American mindset in a way of like, keep building, keep growing. Like in America, it's like, gotta be better, gotta make more. So to me, I don't want to ever diminish how hard I've worked, how much I've done, because it has taken a lot. And it has taken, you know, putting myself out there in very uncomfortable ways and getting a lot of, you know, mean comments and stuff like that. So I'm proud of it. And I am humbled to know I'm still not the best rugby player in the world.
You're pretty good.
That's not my thing. Good. But I am truly proud of what I've been able to do for the sport of rugby in America and even the world.
Can you give us like an insight into like how much time is rugby and how much time you spend doing this? Because I think that's one thing we really struggle with, is like how much time you dedicate to it. And maybe that's because our brains are not as great as yours and not as wild as yours, so it takes us longer to think. But like, how much, what is the balance there?
We have to also say that Meg Jones outed our Mo for the fact that she she really considered a post various times, and then even after she put it out,
left it in the draft
had to be cleared by her sister. Scazzy has been editing the same reel for about 3 months now. So,
but
I mean,
when it comes,
apparently it's very good. We're going to love it when we see it eventually.
But I do genuinely think that's part of it, is like the almost, I don't think it's fear because I'm not scared of it, but like putting yourself out there and being like, oh, I'm not sure how this is going to land, or because I'm quite a sarcastic human, I don't know if anyone knows, but whether people that don't know me will know that that's a joke or whether they'll take me seriously. And I think I overthink a lot of that sort of stuff as well.
And there's a big social pressure, isn't there?
100%, yeah.
Well, I think people like, oh man, you must be on your phone all day. But then I see my teammates and everybody else who's always on their phone as well. So a lot of other people, like, you know, you or whoever, you're scrolling through your phone. We just have different mindsets when we're scrolling. Like my teammates are scrolling just for fun. I'm scrolling for content, for a trend to follow or something like that. So I, some of my teammates have more longer time that they spend on their phone, whatever it's called,
screen time than me,
because you're doing it. Like at the Olympics, you guys were on your phones, you know, during in between practices, you were scrolling TikTok. It's like, how are you using the time you're scrolling TikTok? I'm using it in like, oh, this is something that I can post, which I guess takes away the fun of it sometimes, but like,
but you're over there living the best life.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy it? Is it something that you do really enjoy?
I do like it. I've always been somebody who, I like to share myself. I like to make other people feel comfortable, and whichever way that is, you know, through my videos. I like that it's having a positive impact on a lot of girls, because I think, especially when I was, you know, growing up, there wasn't many athletes that like looked like me or were proud of their broad frame, their tall frame. And so I think I just know that I can help other people who look like me, because it would have helped me. But it's like a constant battle. I was just talking to somebody, like, doesn't matter how many posts I do about, you know, how proud I am, my broad shoulders. Some girl's going to see it, feel good about their shoulders. And then 5 videos later, it's going to be a skinny person who, you know, is that's like the way to look. So it's kind of an interesting like battle. Like I try to constantly post about my body, which maybe seems like redundant or... But because I know that they have to see it, these girls, it can't just be a one and done. It has to be constant.
I rate that so much. This is really left field. May I go? Right. Here we are. Settle in, everyone. I'm fascinated just watching you talk about how your brain works and how strategic you are and everything you do. If you didn't play rugby, what would you do? Because I feel like you would just be high flying in some business somewhere. Or like, what was the secondary plan if it wasn't women's rugby?
So, and this maybe might have helped me also how I can do the rugby and the social media. In college, I did nursing. So I did play rugby and I was a nursing major, which was like, you know, you had to do 12-hour clinicals someday. I had to miss practice. So for me, it's always been, I just don't like the idea of having to choose between something like, oh, I can just be a rugby player. Like to me, I wanted to be a good nurse and a rugby player. So I did it because, and I don't, people always talk about making sacrifices. I don't really think I made sacrifices. Like I didn't go to a party on Friday. It was just like choosing what's really important to me and what I value. Because of the Olympics, I got free classes for a master's in business, and I told my dad about it. And he was like, you're not going to take it. You get free classes. So then I got roped into taking an MBA course. So I have my MBA. I have my nursing degree. I have my MBA. And I make TikToks. But I got the MBA less for learning and more for learning, I guess, but to have a piece of paper that says I know something, because if it ever comes to it that I am working in a hospital again, or there's a high level job, a CEO job, I can be like, oh, actually I'm the girl for this job because I have this degree that you want for this. And so that was also, I'm just kind of like a strategy master, I guess is what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm always thinking.
But the business degree or the financial degree or whatever it might, mm-hmm. that must help with all of the stuff that you're doing, because you must have to manage everything else going on. As Elma said, you are essentially a businesswoman doing what you're doing.
Yeah. So that's been really cool. But I think what's been even better is like having a really good team of people around me. Like my sisters really helped me, and I have a really good agent who, having people around you who also understand your worth is really important, because maybe it is being a female, maybe it is being an athlete in a way. I don't know my worth sometimes. And I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds good for that video. And then you have people who are like, no, this is what you're worth. This is what we're asking for. And they're the ones who can really, get what you deserve out of it. So I just am really lucky that I have a team around me who understand and who are also going to get the best out of it for me.
I love that you recently in an article said that it's weird that we call women's rugby a career you said, I guess we just call it a job for now, but it's barely that because it's a weird job. It is a weird job. You're just all over the place chasing down balls. It's a fun job that we get to play and we're so excited to play, but we're constantly also having to think about what we will do afterwards. Your career as an athlete is very different to that of an NFL star because, I mean, retirement from this one will not mean that you'll be able to sit back and properly retire. Talk to me about the business plan. Mm-hmm. Do you have a clear plan, like where you're playing until when and what you want to do after that? Have you got that plotted out or are you surfing the waves at this stage?
I'm definitely not surfing the waves because I think you have to start preparing now. Because as I said in that, it's like, I don't think many people think like, I'm going to go into rugby and be a rugby player and that's what I'm going to do. Like maybe some men's players can do that. But for us, it's like, I mean, I have some teammates who are 32 and they're like, oh, getting up there or you want to have babies or something can change. So it's like, and you can, of course, come back having babies. People do it. who's the player on the Bristol Bears who just did it?
Abby Ward.
Yeah. I look like her. We kind of look alike.
You do actually. Your faces. Yeah.
We're kind of the same, but.
Mary Candy.
Yeah. So I just think it's like tough because I would love to, you know, just do rugby my whole life, but it's not really feasible for me. Maybe in England, but in America, like it's not. So for me, I'm kind of like laying the groundwork, like just kind of planting seeds everywhere. Mm. So in a big thing that I'm doing, I'm working to be on a skincare brand and going to be a co-founder of a skincare brand for female athletes, by female athletes, kind of specific to sport. So we're right now in our product development and then going to have that launch soon. So like for me, that was like something, and again, on the business side that I could get into, she can't reach out to me, the founder of that, and was like, would you like to be a co-founder? And I'm like, this sounds awesome. Like, this sounds like something that could really work for me. In terms of the social media is also helping me because to kind of like continue to instill myself as like a female athlete that people really like and who can, you know, go to events. And I love going to events and meeting people to just like get my name out there because as many people say, and people I talk to, even in the rugby community, it can be such a fleeting time playing rugby. Like you don't know when it ends. So enjoy it while it lasts. But also I think it's really important to prepare for when it is done.
Mm, that is awesome. Do you think you'd ever come across the 15s game?
I would really love to. Yeah, I would love to at some time, mostly because, well, the 15s game is really cool. I don't know. I like being the biggest person on the field, so I'm a little scared. I'm a little nervous. But I would love to play in the World Cup in England. I think it's going to be an amazing event. I got to see the one in New Zealand and just the fans that were out and how big it was even there. I think it can be, you know, massive in England. So I would love to play. I also would love to go to a place where rugby and rugby stars and is a thing. Cause in America, I'm nobody. Like in terms of the rugby world, like, cause we have so many sports, it's like nobody cares. But I would love to be in a place where rugby is celebrated and there's games here, there's a game here, and get to go to these games and experience the culture of it.
I was listening to you talk on a different podcast and saying that you'd love to come and play in the Premiership at some point or play overseas or do other things before Mo and I pitch ourselves as.
I'm not doing that because every guest we have on, she's already we'll take it offline. Because every guest
said she wants to be based in London, guys.
Yeah, this is 2 hour train drive from each step.
Is that something you consider maybe post a World Cup like that?
I would love to. Yeah, I think that would be really cool. I love what the PWR is doing too. I love the branding, the new like photo shoots they all did and stuff like that. And I also think like more can be done for the PWR to get the girls out there because I think that's what sets, I say female athlete a lot, but I think that's what sets apart female athletes, like the personalities that we have. Like women are so funny and have so much to offer that I just, and like, you know, men's athletes are, what do you have? Joe Marler saying something slightly funny. Like people love that shit. So if we can have these women athletes also showing their personalities, people, I think that's why people resonated with me. Like they saw my personality. They loved me. Okay. Let me tune into this rugby game. And then they ended up watching, you know, these sevens. So I think there's more to be done.
And I think that's the thing that makes me so sad when someone like Mo basically confesses to having posting anxiety is because we love you and your personality so much. And I wish
I'd always like it, mate.
More athletes felt convinced by the fact that they hold the power of distribution in their own hands. We have never had as firm a direct link between the athlete and the consumer as we do right now. This is the thing that women's rugby has over men's rugby, is that all of, like, so many of the girls who play in the PWR have other streams of income. If the club or the coach doesn't like what you're posting or the personality that you're putting out there, you probably have another job that you're doing on the side half the time anyway, and your career isn't going to be that long, and the hold that they have over you right now isn't that big. So this is the time for more girls to be a lot stronger about how they put themselves out there, because people follow people. If you go look at the 20 most followed account on any social media platform, I will guarantee you, because I checked it again the other week, there is about two brands in the top 20. It is always people. People will always follow an individual person's journey a lot more than they will follow at PWR or at Rugby World Cup or any brand. And that's why brands need players and influencers and people with personalities who are brave enough to put themselves, warts and all, out there, cellulite and all, to say, this is who I am. And look, I'm an athlete. I think that's probably my favorite piece of content that you've ever done, is you going, look at this picture of my leg. And that, yes, that's cellulite. And I am an athlete and I am an Olympian.
Yeah.
And this is what my body looks like. So do not go around thinking that you having cellulite is something that is down to the fact that you're not working hard enough or you're not enough of an athlete.
Yeah. You know, I've heard that before about coaches, like, being very specific about what their teammates or what their players put out, and are very like, that's not the brand. But I think that's very stupid and not going with the times. And people have asked my coaches about it, like, oh, how do you feel about Alona posting this? And it's like, I think that because they've seen firsthand what it's done for them and what it's done for our team, they see the value in it. I think some of these older coaches, a lot of times older men, don't understand what it can actually do. Like, you talk about growing the game, but it's like, how are you growing the game then if you're just playing? You need to, it's a sad fact, you have to do more to get the younger generation. Where's the younger generation? They're on TikTok, they're on Instagram, they're watching those videos. So I think we just, and rugby being a very sometimes old-minded sport, we have to start using new ways to grow the game. And I just wish that coaches would understand the value in it, that showing these players is so important.
Have you ever felt resistance from your teammates or coaches in that space? Or have you always been celebrated and go for it?
I think when I first started doing the TikToks before the Olympic fame, it was like, oh, Lo's doing her TikToks again.
Yeah.
Funny, you know? And then after the Olympics, it was like, oh, Lo's doing her TikToks. Yeah.
Tag me.
Yeah. So it just, I think they were never like, oh, that's weird. It was always just like, okay, the TikToks. But now it's like, they see, and I don't mind like them seeing what it's done for me, the money that it's made me. They understand it and they're like, oh, okay, Lo's doing her TikToks, like, let her do her thing. They're always down to be in it, because, and my coaches as well, like, we saw a massive increase in girls trying rugby after the Olympics because of the TikToks they were seeing in college. And like, I had got a message from a girl in a college who said, like, we had, you know, 50 plus girls come out because they saw your TikTok. So they see the value in it, and maybe that's the business mindset of them, but I've never felt pushback. I've like had to check with my coach before on some TikToks, like, is this okay to spend? But it's also, I guess, me being smart about what I post at times.
Do you ever find yourself getting frustrated at other people not doing the same in that space? Because say you think about us, we're pretty hopeless, but yet we're living in a rugby country that is, the infrastructure is brilliant. You know, we're on professional contracts, have been for many years. The PWR, as we've already spoken about, is a phenomenal domestic competition. Like, we've got so much going for us in terms of women's rugby in this country. Yet, generally, there are some people that do it better than others, but a lot of us are pretty terrible at then continuing to push on again with this side of things.
Yeah. I sometimes just get annoyed because people always are like, oh, you know, I want to get sponsorships, I want to get deals, I want to do all this, get the sport out there. I'm like, well, you know what you got to do? You got to post that draft that you've been saving up this whole time. Like, you just have to get content out there. And so...
Should we look at my drafts now? Do you want to look at my drafts right now?
I'm literally going to be face to camera. Scaz doesn't know what a draft is.
Here's the thing.
Go on.
People think people care. Like, no, they genuinely don't. Like, no, it doesn't sorry, matter.
If you'd seen my first round, no, you would have cared.
But it's just like, online, people are always so nervous about, oh, what they show me, and they're like, I don't, what's a caption? I'm like, don't put a caption, just post it. I don't care. Put an emoji as a caption. That's kind of funny. It's a 3-second video, post it. I love it. Like, my teammates, whenever they ask me, it's the thing is, like, they, people really think someone online is like gonna care. No one cares. There's gonna be those people out there who are gonna be mean, but like, you have to post, and it's, a lot of it isn't gonna land. A lot of it will not, but there's gonna be some that land. Like, Nicole recently posted a video, my best friend Haviland, she posted a video of herself just literally getting an ice bath. That was the video. She got 16,000 followers from it. It's like a 5-second video.
Legit.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. So
you, she's stacked, isn't it?
Well, yeah,
that's
true. Great shape, yeah.
But it's just like, it's just getting yourself out there. You know, I would say 75% of my videos get not as many views, but there's one that'll get a millions of views, and I'll get, one video I had where I like transitioned from looking like a girl, I'm wearing my dress, I'm looking all girly and going on a red carpet, to me getting ready for a game. That got me about 200,000 followers just from that one video. So it's really, you never know what video is going to hit. You just got to put it out there.
Wow.
I'm not convinced the weekend away that Mo and I had with some friends at the Mole Resort in Devon will hit. But
you know what?
You let, when is it, when it lands, you let me know.
But you know what?
Couple
if
weeks
you
at least.
Were posting on the regular, so for example, our Scazzy loves baking. If you were just making tons of baking content, I think we've had this conversation about five times this year.
Especially because you only bake in an apron. So that would definitely land. That would definitely land.
You're such a tit.
It could just be interest focused. Oh, by the way, on the apron, I had to explain to Scazzy what thirsty means. What would your definition of thirsty be, Ilona?
You know, fun fact, I was called the thirsty Olympian. I'm not proud of that. But it's like, means that you are in need of some companionship.
Gotcha.
you need a special someone, I think.
How do you balance thirsty content with the rest? Do you ever look at something and go, okay, I'm not going to put that out there because it's just going to come across, or is there nothing that you wouldn't post?
I don't do as much thirsty content anymore like I did at the Olympics, but I did it at the Olympics because I knew that people were like, yeah. The whole thing is like, do the athletes talk to each other? Are they doing the thing in the Olympic Village? So I was like, I can play on this because people love that. And they love that all these athletes are in a village together. So I made a TikTok about that. Mostly I thirst trap now, if you know what that is, where you like,
don't explain. Scaz, no, can you please try and explain what a thirst trap is? Come on, Scaz, give it your best shot.
Give
it your best shot, please. All right, I'm gonna say, Grace, continue with your explanation. Thank you.
It's like, it's just out there, I think. So thirst trapping is where you try to get the thirsty people to follow you, I think is what it is.
Right.
So I do that more now. I'm not as thirsty as I once was, I guess. but I think it's just smart for me. The thirst trapping is more to show the many sides of a rugby player, like can be, you know, a beast on the field than a beauty in life. So I try to, you know, vary my content as we know.
I love that. So you could thirst trap with your apron on.
Could I?
Your hat, yeah. Little side peak of that bottom.
Perfect. God.
Wow. This has escalated massively. I love it.
Sorry, she's lost her head.
I think Mo, you should lead the way, definitely. During the Olympics, there was an article, or after the Olympics, there was an article in Elle that said her most popular videos are about looking for a tall, foreign, demigod-looking athlete in the Olympic Village. The Olympic Games are a notoriously horny time in the world of sports. In a 2012 ESPN interview, US target shooter Josh Lakatos, I don't know if I said that right, said he had never witnessed so much debauchery as he did in the Village, and a reported 450,000 condoms were distributed in 2016 in Rio.
No, like genuinely.
You were in Rio, mate.
Yeah, so were you, naughty boy.
Million condoms.
No, when you went into.
So they're like vending machines of them.
Yeah, in the
but
food village.
But you don't have to pay for them.
This food village was like the most. Isn't it just the most vast thing? To be fair, the Tokyo one was very different to Rio. In Rio, you walked in, there was just like hundreds and hundreds of food stores, hundreds and hundreds of tables. And then on the sides, like on the walls as you walk into the village, condoms, just dispensary. Just like, you know, like...
And were people standing in queues? I mean...
It did start to get a bit ridiculous when everyone started to finish.
You could see that they were diminishing over the time. Yeah. But also, Rio was... I imagine it wasn't in Tokyo, but I imagine Rio was a bit different. Actually, Tokyo was COVID as well. It was
bubbled.
It was a bit carnage.
Nowhere to go.
Is the tour like that? The World Series?
Not quite as bad.
I think the silence speaks a thousand.
I wouldn't say as bad. It is interesting because it is men and women, so you're going to have some stuff like that, especially when you go out afterwards after like a week of just training your body to the limit, and then you just want to have a drink and, oh, there's a sexy lady there, you know? So there is some of that, but also you see these people constantly. So it's like you want to be careful because you just saw him in Perth, but you're going to see him in Vancouver. So there is definitely, no lie, so there's true. Of course some of that
Tinder
as well.
Tinder has changed the game on that as well. Sorry, we're really digressing. We probably need to cut this bit
Tinder?
Out.
Tinder?
What do you mean Tinder's changed?
As in like when we, back in the day, there wasn't really dating apps. It wasn't used as much, was it? When we were on these World Series. Whereas now, one swipe, you can be connected to all of these people from all over the world.
People in different area codes.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
You don't know about Tinder?
Uh-huh. No, I know about Tinder. I was just thinking back to the good old days, Mo, and I reckon you do all right without Tinder.
Moving on.
On your DMs, you sometimes mention the fact that people slide into your DMs. You have said, do not slide into my DMs with just a hey and a photo of yourself from 2016 being the most recent thing on your profile. Have you got any stories for us on people who have slid into Ilona Mar's DMs?
Well, not really stories so much, but like the people who do slide in, I'm like, is this who... Is this who I'm supposed to be dating? Because that is not my type. Like, I really thought I'd have like more NFL players in my DMs. They're not. So I'm a little disappointed on that. So the people who do slide in, I'm like, do you think you're at my level? Do I have to bring my level down? It's a blessing and a curse. But a lot of it is like, because people always slide in and they're like, would love to take you on a date. And I try to go on the profiles and it's like nothing. I'm like, well, I'm not going to, you know, follow you or anything, because I need more. I need to know a picture. Maybe that's I don't know what the word is, but like for just looking for looks, yeah, you have to be hot. I'm hot, sorry, you know. So I just have to do a double check.
Do you know what, Ilona, I think you need to do for rugby what Travis Kelce has done for the NFL, and we need to land like a Leonardo DiCaprio kind of. We need We need.
Isn't he about 50 now?
Well, okay.
I'd take one for the team. I would do it for rugby.
You're such a hero.
Leonardo DiCaprio, if you are watching, Ilona Mar says she's also 27, right?
That's too old for him, I think.
But, yeah, true.
I really don't have a type at this point. My type keeps getting like broader and broader because not much is landing. So I don't have so much of a type. I think somebody, it's so important to have someone I could have a conversation with, because I've really found dating men, like a lot of them don't know how to talk and like ask questions. So it's a tough scene out here for me. Yeah.
I think that the big problem that a lot of my friends are also remarking on is, especially if you have a really strong personality, there is a lot of you there that I could just also probably sit and listen to. So I can understand that people with smaller personalities who don't feel like they can share the dance floor with you get completely overawed by you rocking up to the average date.
Yeah, and I prefer my men to like not have a like presence on social media. Like, let me be the cringy one online. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you posting.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Okay.
I do enough for both of us.
And would they need to be happy with being in your posts? The funniest thing about my husband is that he gets really angry when I get him in shot. Mm. So I can post about us going somewhere as long as I frame him out.
Really?
Yeah, no, he does not want to be in shot. He hates it when he's caught in shot, because he did not sign up for that bit of this. I mean, we've also been together for longer than social media existed. So yeah, that's interesting.
Well, first off, I would have to be with the man for many a time before I posted him. And second, it's not that I show him, it's that I use a lot of the content he gives me in my videos. And they'll go back to my page and like, was this about me? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
What you said was super dumb. Yes, I made a video about it. Like, they're actually, a lot of my videos are from encounters I've had or dates or something that he said. And I'm like, this is hilarious. And yeah, that was directly about you. So I think dating me, you just have to deal with that you are a fuel for my social media.
Yeah.
Like a songwriter.
But of the jokes.
Well, I mean, you're on side. So, I mean, Travis Kelce knows that Taylor is going to write songs about him. Like whatever he does, that stuff is going to make it into a song one way or another.
So good.
Is there a version of the future where you don't live in the US, where you do live over here?
I would say there is. I would really love to experience a new place because I've only ever lived in America. I did college here to experience a new culture, the beautiful English culture of jack and potatoes.
Can you speak?
It's honestly very good, babes. Yeah, wow. I went to a lot of Love Island.
That is good.
I've thought about going on Love Island, but I know I'd make a fool of myself, so I can't. But like things like jacket potato. What's a jacket potato?
Don't jacket potato. Gaz has a jacket potato Monday. Every Monday, this girl has a jacket potato and she lives for it.
No, sorry, just that's factually incorrect.
That is the most obvious Gaz.
Actually,
it is. Right, let me explain.
For many, so many years of your life.
I grew up on a farm. My dad farmed potatoes when we were growing up.
So potatoes.
Potatoes. Every Monday, we also had swimming lessons. So mum would shove a jacket in the oven. We'd go swimming, come home, dinner ready. So every Monday, we used to have a jacket potato. It was like 20 years ago.
And when we used to live together, sometimes she used to get excited and be like, should we have jacket potato Monday? And then we did. And
I'm telling you now, a jacket potato is unbelievable. A good one.
Their family used to make the Christopher Walkers. Everyone, was that right?
I don't know if that'll land the loner.
Straight out of the ground, those crisps.
There we are.
Just put a bit of salt
crisps.
On them.
Sorry, we digress.
See, there's so much culture I could be really experiencing over there.
But it's not at all, right? I have this all the time.
Are we going to be part of these TikToks that you take to start people in or what?
Ilona's got a merch line called Beast's Beauty Brain. Scazzy's one would be Jacket Potatoes on Mondays.
Yeah. Takes all sorts,
people
right?
People love it. I watch a TikTok of a guy who does it out of his like truck. He wears like a GoPro or something. And he just like makes these potatoes and he just gets in. He puts so much butter in it and then he puts like beans on it. You guys love a can of beans.
Cheese and
then
beans.
Cheese and people just freak out.
No, it's banging.
And sometimes they put tuna on it.
Yeah. Tuna mayo. Jacket potato, tuna mayo.
Yeah, tuna mayo.
What? On the potato?
Yeah.
Jacket potato, tuna mayo.
Stop it, I like it.
Some people go tuna mayo and cheese.
No, but that's too much for me.
That's delicious. I haven't even had that.
Tuna and cheese, good combo.
And potato.
Potato.
I love a potato.
Have you seen that TikToker, Maddie Gray? She's like, what's everybody having for their tea?
Yeah.
I'm having jacket potato, tuna mayo, and a bit of garlic bread. That's why I love it so much.
Basically, any club, anywhere in the PWR, just she's primed and ready. We have teed everything up for you. Just get into her DMs. She's standing by.
Yeah.
That World Cup that you guys are hosting, so for those who don't know, the 25 Women's World Cup is played here in England. The next one is going to Australia. And then the one after that goes to the US. Now, that's after the Men's World Cup takes place in both of those destinations as well. So there is a very long build here. I mean, we knew the Japan World Cup was awarded in 2011 and then was played in 2019. So it's a similarly long build up. But what really shifted the needle in Japan's case is that they played Super Rugby and had greater involvement in Southern Hemisphere rugby on an ongoing league basis. What would really change things if someone gave you the job and said, here you go, keys to the kingdom, now you run it. If you were made the big boss of American rugby right now, ahead of the Women's World Cup coming to your country, what is the one thing that you would focus on?
That's a very good question. I mean, I think it's, how many years is that until the next one?
2033. So it's 7 years. 7? No. 6 plus 3. 9. No, 10.
So
9 years. Get... Sorry. Jeez, how long did that take me? Sorry.
Sorry, can that be our social media cut down?
Guys, 9. We can't use that, please. I've been down all
so,
week. 9 years to go.
I guess almost. That means it's like we got to get the high schoolers and the college girls then will be the ones who will be leading that charge. I think it's would be important to more athletes, not just myself, to be getting themselves out there in it, like even start promoting that there's a World Cup, start promoting that it's you. It's okay if you didn't play rugby since you were, you know, just a little kid, like you can start whenever. I think we talk about it, but like a lot of our players go over to play in the PWR because it's like a great setup and they love it over there. I think if we want to have a solid team here, it's going to require also building some teams for them. So I would say with the MLR teams, at least having from the start a women's club attached to it in some way, and then, you know, hopefully move up to a professional area, a professional realm, but like attaching to the San Diego Legion, a women's club, to the Chicago Hounds, try to get a club in there as well. Because as we've seen with the Sevens, I actually like playing with the men because a lot of times men will bring in fans and then, but then the fans will stay and watch the women's game and be like, oh, this is actually really good to watch. I love watching this. So it's kind of like use your resources. These MLR teams are growing, you know, have them alongside with the women's team as well. Because I think we can help each other with the Men's World Cup and the Women's World Cup.
Is it something that you sit there now and are really excited about? I appreciate 9 years is a super long time, but I guess if we reflect on the one happening in a year and a half in our home country, I think we're all buzzing about it. You said how excited you are for the potential of it as well, just because we know how big it could be and what a light it could shine on our sport. Do you have the same excitement for hosting in 9 years' time, or is it too hard to say at this stage?
Well, since I won't probably be playing, maybe, probably not, I don't have as much excitement. I think it'll be interesting because I think we have a lot of work to do before that point to make it something that's really special. Because, again, America is not like other countries in that you could just take a train to go watch one game, drive a car, watch the other. It's like one game's going to be in Massachusetts and the next will be in Southern California. That's a five-hour flight to get places. So I think we have a lot of work to put in before to make it something special, because it's just a different environment in America in the sports realm. We have the sports fans, but we don't have the rugby sports fans, and we need to get those stadiums filled to make it a big deal. So I am excited, but like I also think about like how much needs to be done for it to be something.
And I feel like we on this side of the pond have absolutely no grip on how to land rugby. And you understand your audience better than anyone on this side does. I think you understand the potential audience, the people who are on the periphery and that might be convinced to, you know, look in the direction of rugby a lot better than any of us do. What is it that gets girls interested? What is the response, the feedback, the reaction when you've seen young women turn up to training for the first time? Do they send you follow-up messages? Do you have any live feedback that you get? Do you have any understanding of what makes the sport work over there?
I think from what I've seen is like the empowerment it gives girls and the seeing that what their body is capable of, because I think at times, a lot of times women's bodies are thought of as something just to be looked at as something to objectify. Rugby shows you that your body is so much more than that, that your broad shoulders, which I was never comfortable with, can run and tackle and fend. So I think giving your body a purpose in that way makes it so that your body isn't just an object. It's something that can truly do something good. And I just see these girls like coming into their own, like changing the narrative from wanting to be thinner to wanting to be as strong as possible so that I can run over girls on the field, so that I can tackle. It's just the empowerment that it's done for me, and it does it for the other girls, and also the special community that is rugby, that rugby clubs have. I don't think you see it in many other sports, like, you know, even soccer or you know, softball. We have such a different vibe about how we go about with our opponents, how we interact with each other. Our culture is just really something that you don't see anywhere. And I think people really love it, and they have it becomes their social network as well.
I love that. And I'm really here for you guys bringing that Super Bowl glitter to everything. Just make it really big and shiny and glamorous. Thank you.
We'll try.
Thank you. I mean, we're not asking for a lot or anything. Yeah. Now, speaking of bringing glamour to things, ahead of Paris, you obviously have your own strategy going into this. The French men's strategy is pull the DuPont alarm, and then people, he comes in and everyone is going to watch, right?
Cannot wait. I watch too. Yeah. I'm excited for DuPont as well.
How's your French?
Not good. I took it for 12 years.
So good.
Je m'appelle Ilona.
I can say that at least. Yeah.
And then from there, basically, job's done.
Yeah.
I think the DuPont factor is a genuine thing. And I think it'll, again, bring so many more eyes on what is an unbelievable sport, but for whatever reason just doesn't get, certainly here, as much coverage as it should get, or as much as the 15s game. But I think it could be mega.
You mentioned earlier that your focus is on winning semifinals to get to the finals in the rest of the 7 series. Now, not to rub this in, but you were knocked out in Dubai by Australia, and then in Cape Town by Australia.
Probably.
And then in Perth, can you guess?
Australia.
Yeah. would you care to comment on any of this, Ilona?
yeah, for sure. Well, I think, I mean, the Australian sevens team right now, what they're doing is very impressive, and the level and that they're playing at and the style they're playing, like, is really cool to watch, even just being a person against them. And so, again, so for us, it's learning how, or figuring out how to score against them, because we had an amazing tackle percentage. We had something like 80% tackle percentage against them. And like, we're working our butts off. We make many tackles. It's like they break us just by how hard, how long they'll work for, and they'll just like play attack for and then find their moment to come at us. So that's like, you know, one of those teams that for a couple years now, they've been such a solid program. And we beat them two times last year in the semifinals to make it to the finals. So I think it's like we play them all the time, so they play us. When we get back, oh, now we figured them out, we know how to defend it, then they've like, okay, well, we're actually going to do this now, and we've completely wrecked your game plan. So like, it's just for us, a quarterfinals are so important. I think we're learning each time how to get better quarterfinals. And then semifinals, it's like if we can just that last inch and like really put ourselves up as a contender against those top teams. Because we finished third in the season last year. And I just think we need to figure out how to use our strengths to our best ability.
Now, we want to do a few quick fires. Don't think about this. I don't think any of this is going to put you on the spot, because you're so good at this kind of thing. Most random place you have been recognized?
Oh, I have some where I'm just like, hello. I've been in like Laos and been recognized by somebody in Laos. I was in a bar in Laos and some people came up to me and were like, hello, we know you from TikTok. I was like, hi.
Wow. That is wild. Most famous person who has dropped into Ilona Maher's DMs?
Jennifer Lopez and I chatted for a minute there.
Shut
but just because just because I was on Access Hollywood and I said I love J-Lo, so she reached out and I was like,
Jenny from the block.
You just got everyone up in their seat.
That is,
these two.
That is sick. We can't do anymore now because we ain't gonna be that. No,
oh my goodness. J-Lo, come through, please join us in the rugby line. Which famous rugby player would you like to have slide into your DMs if you could just order it like you order takeout?
What I have in my DMs? Is this in a friend way?
Well, any way you want.
In a... Oh my God. Hold on.
DuPont. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I would love to meet DuPont. I'll definitely fangirl like over him. My trainer and I love him. Like, we follow him all the time. I think he's like 5'6", right? Yeah. He, like, he's like tiny. So I'm going to like just intimidate him, just like be over him like this. And also there's just some like fans. I don't, because I'm not afraid to slide in. Like some of the women's players that I'm really big fans of, like Ellie Kildon, right? But she recently slid in, but it was about something else. But like, you know, big fan of her and some of these players. So yeah, let's go DuPont. He would never. He seems a little like he wouldn't talk to me, but that's okay.
Did you see the clip of him with the skateboard? He can do a full 360.
I saw that. He's so talented. Impressive. He's so talented.
And final question. Yes, no. Are you signing for Quinns?
Not right now.
Why is Quinn's the club on the end of that?
Tell us, Ilona.
I did
Ellie Kildon.
Yeah. My favorite player. I would love to play in a London-based team. And I know I got to spend time when I was at London Sevens with some of the Harlequins girls, and Jenny Cronish was playing for them, and she loved her time there, like just loved it. And I talked Rachel Burford, who is Mike Friday's girl from the Sevens. So like, I talked to her a lot as well.
Lots of links.
Tough to compete.
Lots of links. Yeah.
I was going to say, Burf got you beat there. Sorry.
All I've got is jacket potatoes. So do you know
jacket potatoes. You can ride on a tractor.
I do want it. I want it bad.
They have a cathedral in Gloucester.
Oh, we have a lovely, I don't think that's exclusive to Gloucester though. Yeah. So I'm not
going to. I did say I thought Gloucester was going to win the PWR this year again.
I see you do a bit of stuff. Yeah. You follow it week on week. Do you do like a little show or something?
No, I just did a show with Alex Korb and Will Hooley about it. Nice. But it's sometimes very hard to find your games to watch.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like scanning YouTube, hacking into systems to try to watch a 15th game.
Appreciate the commitment though.
Yeah, we love that you're fanning along with us. Thank you so much for getting up really early. I know you need to go, but all the best of luck with the next few stops as the circus continues touring around the world, and then with Paris. I will be cheering you, but only if you're not playing the other green team. And we're so excited to see the heights that you will still grab rugby and drag it to, whether it wants to come along or not. I love that energy about you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Big love, mate.
Well, thank you so much to Ilona. Lessons learned outside of thirst trapping.
Very good.
So many lessons learned.
Post your drafts, girls.
Yeah. Post your drafts, think less, and probably try and do more for our sport. I think we've always thought it was about on field and getting out and about, but I think we don't understand the power of social media as much as she does, for sure.
100%. And also, no one cares. So just be your authentic self, because it's so true. People are going to say whatever they want to say, whether you like it or not. So just own it.
Chances are the algorithm won't even show it to them.
Yeah. Perfect.
And then one of the things that we have not spoken about, and this is quite criminal because we campaigned. I mean, oh my goodness. Everyone who is a WhatsApp contact of me received a broadcast message to vote. My mom's cousin voted. I mean, literally everyone voted for us for the podcast award. And I would like to thank everyone else outside of my family and my WhatsApp contact list, because we won Best Rugby Podcast.
What the chuff?
It's mad.
How mad?
The Sports Podcast Awards.
What the chuff? She gets to sit in this chair and say, what the chuff? And nobody reacts. It just goes over everyone's head. Everyone in studio, you've just mentioned four people in studio, no one reacts. Yeah, what the chuff? That's normal. Carry on. That's probably why we were best
swearing at the top of the show.
That's a load of bollocks. What the chuff? That is a load of bollocks. What the chuff? Yeah, there we are.
Would you like to make an acceptance speech on our behalf as well, while you're on a roll now?
Yeah, it is incredible.
Who would you like to thank?
Just everyone. The fans, mum for making everyone vote, you for making everyone vote. It's just a privilege, like, to sit here and to the cameras. It's just a privilege.
Not the cameras, no, mate.
Everyone in the team.
Right. Sorry, I thought you were saying I had to talk to the cameras.
She was just angry at the phone.
Wait, I'm getting there. Right, whose speech is this?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. you're saving the most important to the last.
Yeah.
I understand. Sorry. Yeah. Normally people do go the other way around. That was all. Carry on.
Right. We're thanking everyone. Where was I? Chardonnay, stop looking at me. I was thanking... Sorry, she's really off foot. I was thanking everyone that voted. Obviously, everyone behind the scenes. Producer Shira, class. We wouldn't do this without her. Vodafone, unbelievable. Obviously, everyone behind cameras, sound, the amount of people, Jazz... Calf.
Yeah, shine.
Right, I don't want to do this because I'm feeling the pressure. Sam, everyone, Craig, who else?
I think we're pretty much there. You haven't thanked Mike, Alex.
Yeah, the boys.
The James. Boys.
Yeah. Okay.
Look how stressed I am.
It's been a great month of celebration.
Yeah, it's just incredible. And there's so many people behind the scenes and there's so many people that make this operation run. But it is such a privilege to sit here and to be able to deliver messages and to shine a light on people's stories. And you guys are incredible. And I love what I do. And I love the whole team. And it's just amazing. So thank you to everyone that voted. Thank you to everyone that genuinely believes in what we're doing, because it's just an honour to be here and to be doing it. And peace out.
Nailed it. Nice.
I'm glad Chardonnay's on the floor. That's what I can say.
And you've come on board this year and we win an award.
So yeah, it turns out you're our lucky charm.
There we are.
Wow. There we are then.
Okay. We're making a deal between now and when I see you next. You both better post a reel.
When am I seeing you next?
Oh, I did one the other day.
Congratulations.
Did you see it?
I'm very proud of you.
Did you see it?
Very well.
The algorithm didn't show you.
It didn't even show it to me. It didn't even make it into my feed. Post?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
For the rugby. Yes, yes, yes. For the sake of the sport.
Yeah, it won't be rugby related though, mine.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be BTS when you do your fancy TV things. It can be you with the helmet.
Behind the scenes.
You know?
Yeah.
Many things you can do here. More helmet videos coming up courtesy of Skazzy. We are the good, the Skaz and the Rugby, brought to you in partnership with our friends from Vodafone. This is a Folding Pocket production, produced as always by Shira Kilgallen.
Your helmet.
Bosh, your helmet.
You've been listening to the good, the Skaz and the Rugby. A bit like Loose Women, but with less emphasis on working on your pelvic floor.
Which bit was a swear word? Is bollocks a swear word?